Children are dismissed.
Well, today is it's a special day. It's always a special day when we have one of our missionaries among us. So we're going to take a break from our Missing Pieces series this morning as Bill and Pam Sudeck are here. They've been missionaries in France, and we don't often think of France as a place that needs missionaries, but it really is. It really is. It's a country gone dark, but God is doing some things there. And Bill and Pam have been part of that. They've been there for 38 years with Crossworld. So Bill's going to come up, and they're going to share their ministry, and then he's going to bring a message from the Word of God, and we'll be back to the Missing Pieces next week. But while they come up, applause isn't something you do in church, but I think someone who's been on the field for 38 years deserves a round of applause, don't you? This is applause for God, right?
Bonjour. Good morning. It's wonderful to be back here at Westminster Bible. And we are so appreciative of all that you do for us and you have done for us for many, many years as we have worked as a team, all of us together, in working in the ministry in France. Thank you so much for what you've done for us. We are here in the States now for the summer, and we arrived in July. We are returning home to France in September 1st. So in that time, we are visiting a lot of people and churches, and it's just been great to reconnect because with the COVID stuff, we were not able to come when we wanted to, and now we're able to be here. So it's wonderful to see all of you again. Thank you. Our family, we have 3 children and we have 11 grandchildren with number 12 on the way. So, but they're all spread out. Our son's in Virginia with his 4 and our daughter's in Wisconsin with her 6. And our other daughter and her husband are missionaries in Germany. And they actually live 3 hours from us. And so they have 1 little girl with another one on the way. So at least we have some grandparent time, which is a real thrill and a rare thing for us. So we're very thrilled to be able to visit with their families as we move around. Let's see, over the years, 38 years, over the years, we've done a variety of things, a variety of ministries. But over the past 20 years about, I have been very involved in student ministry outreach. There is a college campus in our town of about 16,000 students. And I have been a part of a ministry team that works in outreach, evangelism, discipleship, teaching Bible studies. We have weekly meetings, things like that. And I have participated in this ministry for the past 20 years, which has been wonderful. I love it. However, as we get older, we are getting older and we're looking at retirement and things like that. So we're thankful that the Lord has provided a younger couple now to take over this ministry. And my colleague, who is also retiring, we have been working with this young couple who came through the university. She got saved through the ministry, and now they're married, and they're going to continue that, and we're going to fade out. So, however, I will still be a part of the board of the ministry and, of course, available to help out when I can, but no longer in a leadership role as I have been doing over these many years. In 2014, we took a big leap of faith and bought the first floor of an apartment building downtown to use as a student outreach ministry. It was called the Focus Project. We raised money for this purchase, and in 2014, the board of this ministry called the FU, we bought this first floor of this building. And in there, there are three rooms that we rent to students as bedrooms. So that makes it self-financing. And then in 2022, this past March, we made the final payment of 10,000 euros on this purchase. And so now the building is totally paid for, or the place, this outreach center for students is totally paid for. And it's just thrilling to be able to sort of hand the ministry over to this young couple who will be moving on and continuing it. And they love the Lord, and they love to talk about people to people about Christ, especially students. So they're just perfect, and the Lord worked it out wonderfully for this transition to take place. We're very thankful for that. So we're thankful for all that you've done for us over these many, many years, and for partnering with us. We truly appreciate it. Thank you. Merci.
And just a few words for myself on an update. The past few years, the pandemic, the lockdowns that we've had, like you've had here, though they slowed down ministry in some areas, it was the perfect time for me to make a transition in some of my areas of responsibility. In June of 2020, I passed on my work as field treasurer administrator, which I had for 25 years, passed that on to a younger member on our team in France. She's done a great job of taking that over. I'm still there to shadow her, help her, and guide her through the process, but she's doing more and more totally on her own, which is a great encouragement. In October of 2020, I stepped down from our church board. So for the first time, our church is in the leadership of the French people, totally, and no Americans involved in that anymore. So, of course, we're still there. Our coworker Joe is still there, and we're still involved in preaching, and I do preach once a month. I preach once a month in rotation with some of the men, and also lead worship once a month. So that's still a part of the ministry that I'll continue with as we go back. But some of these administrative things I've passed on. In June of 2021, I passed on my role as liaison with the French Social Security system for our mission. And so I passed that on to a younger man in our mission over there, so he can continue with that. Then in October of 2021, I passed on the oversight of our church's website to one of the men on the board. And so he's involved in that, one of our deacons. We now have two elders and three deacons on the board. And so he's involved. He's done websites in the past, so he was the perfect person to pass that on to. So he's doing a great job with that. So it's very encouraging to step back, and as we go back to the field September 1st, we will be there doing a lot of the things that we've currently done, hospitality. We'll still have students in our home for meals. I'll still continue with music groups that I'm playing for, and I'll share more about that during the message. But we are encouraged to be there also to support those who are in ministry and just help them and stand behind them and assist them to move on and move forward. So as Pam said, thank you so much for your support of our ministry in France and over all these years. It's been great to be back here today to see many of you and to just know that there's a lot of history here. So when you applaud for us, we applaud for you at the same time. So this morning I'd like to share a message with you that speaks to our hearts about eternity, and at the moment we're living in very uncertain, unstable times. Coming out of the COVID crisis, of course, that's nothing new to you. Also, the worldwide domino effect of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, what that has done to food prices, gas prices, cost of living in general. We're in the category of those who are nearing full retirement. In two years, I'll take full U.S. Social Security. And as we look down the years ahead, we see also savings and retirement plans that we've saved up in decreasing in value, as you have as well, hoping that they will rebound by the time we need those funds in retirement. Many of our, in our generation have invested during their lifetime in stocks and bonds and mutual funds, only to see them turn into dismal losses the past few months. Financial counselors tell us to diversify our investments. It's a key word. To have a balanced portfolio. There's no guarantee that those portfolios, even balanced, will perform well for us in an unstable and volatile world, but at least having a balanced portfolio is the idea, not putting all your eggs in one basket. This morning, I'd like to share with you an investment strategy that can give you a win-win investment portfolio, one that doesn't focus on financial objectives, but rather on spiritual ones. Rather than being preoccupied with material and monetary gains, I'd like to share with you an investment strategy that is based on eternal values as we focus this morning on investing in eternity. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're all privileged heirs of a spiritual inheritance, as expressed by Peter in 1 Peter 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Peter says in verse 3 that God has caused us to be born again to a living hope, and because Christ arose from the grave and was victorious over death and sin, he uses the word living there, just a normal Greek word for life. It could also be translated, this hope, as fresh, strong, effective. Each day we awake, we have a fresh and vibrant hope for eternity. And that living hope is focused on a very real and eternal inheritance from the Lord, which he says in verse 4 is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. In stark contrast to our spiritual inheritance in Christ, wealth is perishable, and it will fade away. Proverbs 23, verses 4 to 5 says, "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens." We have friends in York, Pennsylvania, who are in their early 80s, who lost everything a few years ago. The husband was mowing the lawn with their riding mower. As he finished, he brought the lawnmower back into the garage, decided to fill it up so it would be ready to go for the next time. As he filled it with gasoline, some of the gas spilled over onto the hot engine. The lawnmower caught fire, the garage immediately caught fire, and the flames just went right into the house. And he had just enough time to yell to his wife to get out, and they were both safe. But they lost everything. What would you do if you had a total loss of every single thing you owned? They were blessed to have a son-in-law in the construction business whose company was able to rebuild for them during the next 5 months. But they still lost so many precious memories from the past, including their baby grand piano. Thankfully, they know the Lord, and they are able to maintain an eternal perspective on life. Having such an eternal perspective on life was the reason why Abraham so readily obeyed the Lord as he called him to serve him. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 says, "By faith, Abraham," here he comes, "when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Pam and I are in the process of renewing our residence cards in France. So we're traveling with temporary cards right now as we await the renewal of our 10-year cards, and we should get that in the mail when we get back. We're considered residents of France, but we're not citizens of France. We have American passports, but we do not have French passports. But we know that our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. It's not in an earthly government. Paul said in Philippians 3:18-20, "For many walk of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The transition from verse 19 to verse 20 shows that the way to avoid setting our thoughts and hopes on earthly things is to set our hopes on our citizenship in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. With such an earthly focus in mind, I'd like to share with you this morning three reasons for investing in eternity. And the first reason is that investing in eternity is low risk. Low risk is one of the basic principles of investing. To determine the risk factor of the investment you're considering, usually weighted on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 is the lowest, indicating a fairly stable investment option that should have minimal fluctuation in value and profits. A risk factor of 5 is highly volatile, a very risky investment option which is more susceptible to market fluctuations. And as you near retirement, you're told to shift your investments from the higher ones to the lower ones, from the risky ones to the more stable ones, so you don't lose your shirt at the last minute as you're needing those funds in retirement. For the believer, the most stable and sure investment option is to invest in eternity because it is low risk. It's low risk because God's program for this world will not fail. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, verse 18, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." We as evangelicals don't believe that Jesus was referring to Peter as the rock upon which he was going to build his church, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches, but rather that Peter's confession of Christ's identity 2 verses prior in verse 16 was the rock, where Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that is the rock upon which Jesus said, "I will build my church." Often we get so caught up in the discussion about the identity of the rock that we miss the most important teaching of Matthew 16, verse 18. Those 5 words which have personally been my greatest encouragement to persevere throughout our past 38 years in France, where Jesus said, "I will build my church." We are just the earthen vessels that the Lord chooses to use for his glory. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 6-7, "For God said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness.' For the God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." This is why investing in eternity is low risk, because we just need to make ourselves available to the Lord, then allow him to work through us so that he can build his church. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19, Paul told Timothy, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." Paul talks about the uncertainty of riches in verse 17. What's interesting about this phrase is that it can also be translated the untrustworthiness of riches. Don't place our trust in riches. It's not wrong to have them, but it's wrong to place our trust in them because they are so uncertain. Many people focus their hopes on the toys of life, the houses, the cars, the electronic devices that are all part of our world and are very important. Even though these are useful in our day-to-day lives, they shouldn't be the main focus of our hopes and aspirations. The things of life that entangle our lives can disappear in an instant. The problem in our lives is not in possessing things, but rather in being possessed by things. We have a friend who does scrapbooking with the organization Stampin' Up. She has a stamp that says, "The best things in life aren't things." Think about that for a minute. The best things in life aren't things. I love that quote. It just means that things like family, friends, events, relationships are far greater than the material objects we can buy. And of course, our relationship with our Lord stands above them all. The best things in life aren't things. I've had several occasions to teach drum lessons to students in the past, and I always start by showing them the proper way to grip the sticks. Many young drummers want to take a drumstick in their hand like this, and they want to hold it tightly, grip it firmly. That's wrong. 15 minutes after playing, their wrists are going to be tightening up and cramping up. The key to playing drums and playing a quick drum roll or any kind of roll, any kind of method on the drum set, is not to hold it tightly, but to hold it loosely like this. The fulcrum point is here, where that drumstick can move up and down carefully. You curve your fingers underneath, and it bounces off your fingers, and that's what helps, as well as bouncing off the drum head. So it's bouncing off that finger, hitting the drum head, and bouncing back and forth. And you can establish a quick roll by keeping a loose grip on the stick. We need to do the same thing with our possessions. Keep a loose grip on our possessions, and don't hold them tightly to our chest to say, "This is mine, and I want it forever." Jesus warned the crowd gathered around him in Luke 12:15. He said, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." There's a musical competition annually in Europe called Eurovision. I'm sure many of you have not heard of it. It's probably not broadcast here. But Eurovision musical competition is an annual event where individuals and groups representing their countries in Europe come together for a competition. There's preliminary voting that's done ahead of time, and then on the final night, the voting is done by the audience watching on TV, and I think also present in the room. This year's Eurovision was held in Turin, Italy, which is less than 3 hours by car from our city of Chambéry, France. It was held during the month of May. The winning group this year, in 2022, was the Ukrainian band, the Kalush Orchestra, which won the coveted glass trophy. The microphone trophy, all made of glass, was what they won, something that every group was trying to win. The Kalush Orchestra did something very unusual. They decided to put their coveted glass trophy up for auction. They raised $900,000 that they gave to the Ukrainian army. They held loosely to that trophy and gave it up for a greater cause. Psalm 62, verse 10 tells us, "If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them." A second principle in our quest for meaningful investments is that investing in eternity is high yield. A major characteristic to consider when investing financially is the yield factor of an investment product, from low to high. Usually a low-risk investment brings a lower yield, a smaller return on the investment. A high-risk investment tends to bring a higher yield of income. But since God's ways are not man's ways, his investment portfolio is completely different. Investing in eternity is low risk, since its returns are guaranteed by the Lord. But in contrast to normal investment principles, it inversely brings high yields. In writing to the Corinthian church about their generous gift for their needy brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:6-11, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now verse 8 doesn't say we'll have an abundance of every good thing. That's prosperity theology, which teaches that God will make you rich in order to increase your happiness. It doesn't say that. Verse 8 says, you first of all have all sufficiency in everything. In other words, our basic needs will be met. It goes on to say that you have, so that you may have an abundance for every good deed, not an abundance for every good thing. God gives us more resources in order to produce more good deeds. That idea is reinforced in verse 10, where Paul says that God will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. This principle reminds us of 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, where Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So if God is causing the growth in our spiritual investments, that in itself will guarantee high yields. After a number of years in France, one of our missionary couples transitioned from their church planting ministry in a city of Saint-Priest near Lyon to return to the States. I'll never forget what the wife said, who during their final Sunday in that church was standing at the back of the church, seeing how many people were present there. And after years of effort and struggling to see this church grow, she just stood back and said, just look what God has done. What a great attitude. And that's exactly what Paul says here. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Which brings us to our third principle in our quest for meaningful investments. Investing in eternity brings long-term gains. Jesus exhorts us in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. According to the website, investopedia.com, long-term capital gains are derived from assets that are held for more than 1 year before they are disposed of. Usually, the longer you hold on to an asset before you trade or sell it, the more favorably it is taxed. So while a long-term capital gain could be taxed in a low bracket of 0 to 20%, a short-term capital gain from an investment that's held less than a year could be taxed as high as 37%. Depending on your income and your tax bracket. Just as longevity, patience, and perseverance are the keys to good financial investing, they're also the keys to investing in eternity. One major lesson we've learned since first going to France in 1984 is that traditional forms of evangelism no longer produce long-lasting results. Trying to hand a tract to a total stranger often results in his or her refusal to even take it. But what does work is building webs of relationships over time. We can learn a lesson from the patience and perseverance of the spider. Now, for those who have acrophobia, I did not put a close-up picture of a spider in this. I think he's at the center of the web. But on the average, it takes a spider 30 to 60 minutes to weave a web. Even though spiders are extremely strong, they don't always last very long. Even spider webs are extremely strong. They don't always last very long. They're constantly getting damaged by the wind and by the rain. Some spiders build new webs every day, and others repair their damaged webs. Most spiders are very economical. They often eat the damaged webs so they can recycle it into new webs later on. There are different kinds of spider webs, but the orb web, like this one, are the ones that are very intricate with geometric web designs to ensure that each line is in the path of a flying insect. How does the spider build his web? Well, first of all, he takes one line of silk called the bridge thread. He lets it dangle down from a higher altitude or higher level, and the wind will gradually blow that bridge thread over to another object, to a branch, and it'll catch on. Once he sees that, he goes to the top, drops down in the center, and drops a vertical line of silk crossing in the middle, creating a cross. And then he will go back up and start in the center of that web at the crossing point, at the crosshairs, and start making a spiral going on the way out to the edge, and keeps going all the way out. Then he'll start on the outside, going inward, and put a silky, gummy substance on that initial spiral, which is what catches the flies and the other insects. Interesting. That becomes the capture web. Like the spider, we ourselves try to build a bridge thread into the lives of those around us, and we try to allow the Lord to work through webs of relationships with people that we come in contact with. For example, Pam's part-time work in the language lab in our local university in town put her into contact with many students, 200 to 250 students a week, as she was able to get to know them personally throughout the semester. She made it a point to learn all their names. During her 11 years of teaching in the language lab, she had personal contact with over 2,500 students. Her involvement with the FU student outreach in town also, during the 20 years she was involved, enabled her to disciple young Christian women, either in one-on-one or small groups of girls together, or to share her faith with others who attended the weekly Bible studies on Wednesday evenings in search of answers. Since 1966, I've been able to play as drummer or percussionist in 10 different music groups throughout our local and neighboring communities, from concert bands to string orchestras to small jazz trios or quintets, participating in what I like to call PCI, positive community involvement. Getting to know others personally through our shared love of music and seeking open doors to share my faith with them. For 10 years, from 2002 to 2012, I had the privilege of playing drums for a Christian gospel choir in Grenoble, which had a very fruitful ministry and evangelistic outreach. I'm currently enjoying playing for an 18-member jazz band, as well as a 70-member retirees concert band. This past year, I began carpooling with Anthony, the bass player of our jazz big band, and our 20-minute ride to our Wednesday night rehearsals has provided numerous opportunities to share the gospel with him and talk with him about what the Bible teaches and what we believe. Recent studies of church growth and evangelism in France have shown that more new believers have come to faith in Christ through a personal relationship with a Christian after attending several worship services or Bible studies in a local church over a period of time, rather than through a punctual, one-time, impersonal evangelistic event or encounter in a public setting. In April of 2017, 5 years ago, during the week before Easter, our church members distributed 2,500 invitations to a film showing on Good Friday. We went out, we were allowed to go to the mailboxes in apartments or private homes and put things in them in France. We also handed them out directly to people at the market and other places. So that flyer offered three things. It was an invitation to a Good Friday film, an evangelistic film about why Christ died. It was also an invitation to our Sunday morning Easter service at our church. And the third thing was offering a free book on the resurrection. We had zero people show from the outside on Friday night for the film, Sunday morning for the worship service, and nobody ordered the free book out of 2,500 invitations. What was most interesting about this is it showed us that the best strategy in France is building relationships with people through natural outlets, coming alongside of them, doing the things that they like to do. As Pam has been involved in teaching English, or myself through music, doing the things that bring you alongside them in natural circumstances. But something else that was interesting about this technique, well, you would see it as a failure that no one responded to this mailing, was what one of our colleagues said when she wrote to us. She received our prayer letter, our update, and Juanita wrote back to us. Now, Juanita, I have to tell you about her. Juanita has served in France for nearly 70 years. She came to France in 1955 when she was 25 years old. For her first 30 years in France, she worked with Francis Schaeffer's Le Brie ministry in Switzerland. At one point, working with that, he asked her and several others to go to France and set up Labrie, France ministry there. So she scouted around the area, around Avion-les-Bains, where the Avion mineral water comes from. She found a small town where she could live, and the people were at that time receptive, and they were able to set up a ministry in France, similar to Labrie in Switzerland. Well, she wrote what she has done then. She actually retired in 2002, but has continued to come back to her village for 6 months every year since then, and she just did that recently. When she read our update about the 2,500 invitations, she said, "It is so amazing that you have had no response from your 2,500 invitations. It's just not natural at all. Except for the constant opposition of evil, it's hard for folks to realize how difficult it is in France to reach folks. It is now, after knowing these folks in Toulon since the 1970s, nearly 50 years, that I am seeing encouragements. I had five village ladies for a long tea last Wednesday, and it is now so easy to share with them." If you're in your teens or early 20s right now, how willing would you be to give 30, 40, or even 50 years of your life to another country, to another people group, rather than to your own personal pursuits in order to invest in eternity? As you invest your life and your possessions to the glory of God, something we can all do, you're not only more fulfilled in your purpose in life, but you're actively involved in participating in the most important program on earth, the building up of God's church, the body of Christ. Focusing on things of eternal value rather than on those of temporal value will someday disappear, will bring long-term gains to God's church and his ultimate goal for mankind. John, the beloved apostle of Jesus, wrote in his first epistle in 1 John 2, 15 to 17, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." Many people hope for a financial inheritance that will change their lives forever. But the greatest inheritance of all is the eternal inheritance which believers will receive from the Lord. As Paul states in Colossians 3, verse 22 to 24, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with eternal external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the eternal inheritance that you've given us in Christ. Thank you for the joy of knowing that we have a living hope of being in your presence for eternity. And we thank you for the hope that we have that those who have passed before us are also in your presence. We thank you that we can look to the future to invest eternally in the things that are important to you. Take our eyes off the things that are temporal. Take our hearts away from the things that tug at it, that are less important, that are going to pass away with this world, and help our hearts and minds to be focused on you, on your work of building your church in this world. And use each one of us, Father, as vessels to your honor and to your glory. And we thank you for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.